Not quite sure why, but a very simple illustration has been on my mind for some time. I guess you have a picture on your outline, but I thought to prepare this little block of wood because for some reason this has been the tangible little illustration on my mind. And I just am wondering that if I took and handed you this block of wood that has the phrase restoration, Acts 3:21 on it, if I put that in your hand, would you know what it means? Would you be able to explain what it means to someone else? Because honestly, folks, that is the challenge before us. I believe this has been placed in our hands. This is the good news, and I'm lately convicted and convinced that this summarizes it so very, very well. That we have had placed in our hands the message of God's restoration plan that is summarized so very, very well in Acts chapter 3, verse 21. So if I could put that in your hands, in fact, I wished I had enough copies made of that to place in everyone's hand. Maybe I'll get real busy here in the future and start cutting up some wood and making up some blocks to hand to all of you. But whether I can do that with a literal block of wood or whether you can just kind of figuratively take that one off of the page in front of you, I believe God has placed that in our hands, and He wants us to understand it thoroughly. He wants us to live it authentically, and I think He wants us to share it freely. So, absolutely, the task before us is to first of all clearly grasp it. Clearly understand it. We got to know good news before we can share good news. And that is my great desire, is for every person in this room to clearly understand that, live it, and share it. It is a high priority because, as you may well know, there is no other church in this state or in this area that is about the message that Lakeshore Bible Church is about. And we're not smug in saying that because we don't really want it to be that way. We wished that every single church declared that same vital message, but the fact of the matter is that is not the case. And so we'd love for every church to be clearly focused on that vital message that we've been drawn to. And so because it is such a rare thing for churches and congregations to understand that, and embrace that and share that, that just puts a great burden and responsibility and privilege upon us. So that is what is before us, is to understand it, to embrace it, to share it. Let's turn in Acts chapter 3. I know we have spent some time there in recent weeks, but honestly, I just felt drawn back to that passage again because I am just really, really convicted and really grappling with this and seeing this as I've listed in the bulletin front and center. I just think this is what God has to say to us about our mission and about our purpose. This is a part of a message shared by the Apostle Peter as he shared with the Jewish leaders who were firsthand responsible for the events concerning the suffering and the death of Christ. And he speaks, verse 17, about their ignorance and the things that they did. But in verse 18, he says, "But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that as Christ should suffer, He has thus fulfilled. Therefore, repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus, the Christ, appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things about which God spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets from ancient time." Those verses are bookended by what God has declared through His prophets. Through God's prophets, it has been prophesied that the Christ, the Son of God, would suffer and die for the sins of humanity. Not one, but many prophets said that. God has verified it many, many times. But there's something else that all the prophets have had to say as God spoke to them, and that is concerning a particular period of restoration. This is such a vitally important message. Again, the prophets had spoken beforehand of the suffering, the sacrifice of the Son of God. And so those that come to recognize that truth of what happened with Jesus was not an unfortunate accident in the series of events, but this was God's foreordained plan. This was the great plan of God before He ever made anything or anyone, that His Son would come in the fullness of time to offer Himself as a sacrifice to pay the price for the sin that none of us could ever pay ourselves. And so because of that, the response of those convicted of that truth, as Peter says, is to repent and to return. And so the appeal from God, the conviction of His Spirit, is all that come to terms with what Christ has done is to have a change of heart and a change of mind, which is what repent means, to change the way you looked at everything, a paradigm shift in the way you understand and live, and say, I've gone this way, I need to go this way, I now understand this is what God has for me. That is to repent, and along with it is to return, to come to recognition that the path of life takes me away from God, no matter how hard I've tried to be religious or whatever else, to repent and return and say, I need to come back to God through what His Son has done for me. And that opens the doorway, as Peter says, for times of refreshing to come from the presence of the Lord. As we've talked about in previous weeks, we understand that to be the work of God's Holy Spirit to shape and to mold the lives of the responsive people of God. And the more that time goes on, the more I know I desperately need those times of refreshing if I would be the person God wants me to be. I can never try hard enough. I can never be good enough. The times of refreshing are that spirit that draws me in to the lifestyle that God wants. It is a lifelong process. But times of refreshing, that phrase I just find so interesting, because these are the challenging times that drain us, every one of us. We need to be refreshed. God's Spirit is that fountain of refreshing that gives us vitality and life to endure and to overcome in this age as we long for the ultimate victory of the coming kingdom of God. And so that God might also send to us the Christ. And as this verse 21 points out, and this is the focus of our study, the focus of our attention, I think, that God would send us the Christ who must remain at the right hand of God until a particular period of time. The period of restoration of all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets from the earliest of times, from ancient times. Again, that message absolutely must be front and center. And that is that block of wood that I have. That is what is in our hands. Again, that we need to make sure we understand and to faithfully teach and to share with others. I believe this whole thing is a huge subject in itself. We cannot begin to do justice to it in 20, maybe 30 minutes. Well, we'll try to keep it closer to 20, I guess. But we cannot begin to cover it in one sitting and in one message. I'm thinking of the fact that Jesus spent His last 40 days on earth talking about the things concerning the kingdom of God. And so 6 weeks of intense training, and I'm not exactly sure they got it even at that. So we get an idea. This is a big thing, and it's worthy of a lot of concentrated study, and so we don't even begin to scratch the surface today. But I think that we need to make a beginning. And I'm thinking of one thing that I would like to do, and I plan to make this happen out here in the near future. I think we need to put a chart somewhere out in the narthex. And I think that we need to begin to fill it in as we each one come to terms with this, what it means and what Scripture says. And so this needs to be a work in progress for us to understand it, to really grasp it, and to be able to teach it to others. So it's not the kind of thing that I think I can dare believe I can stand before you and tell you and say, okay, got it, let's go out and do it. It's something we all have to grapple with. And so I think that is one of the very tangible things that we need to do, is develop that chart, and each one of us take some ownership and write in the passages that fit with that theme that we're going to look at. Acts chapter 3, verse 21, the restoration plan of God in its simplest form is the kingdom of God, the magnificent obsession of Jesus Christ. It is concerning the plan of God to restore planet Earth and the universe, to restore a broken world and a broken universe. Restore is the operative word. Most churches and Christians are talking about replacing And I think that's very unfortunate that this world is so badly wounded by the enemy that there's only one option, that is God's got to whisk people away from it somewhere else for a place of reward because it's too broken. And I don't see a hint of that in Scripture. God's plan is to restore the perfect planet and universe that He started out with. A writer that I like to refer to often, Randy Alcorn, says this: God isn't going to abandon His creation. He's going to restore it. We won't go to heaven and leave earth behind. Rather, God will bring heaven and earth together in the same dimension. God has never given up on His original creation. I stand on that too. God hasn't given up on this planet. It's pretty badly broken and polluted, but God hasn't given up on it. For God to give up on it, I think that minimizes who God is. To say this thing is too broken for God to fix, I don't serve a God like that. I serve a God that can do anything and everything. If He made this place in the first place, God can fix it and make it even better. That's the God I serve. And so the fact that God has a restoration plan, that's a powerful statement of the God that we serve. Indeed, God has a restoration plan. In fact, there are about three parts to God's restoration plan. Again, I just want to introduce some basics to you today. God has a restoration plan for the nation of Israel. As we just said, He has a restoration plan for the earth and the universe. And thirdly, God has a restoration plan for people. As we scratch the surface for just a moment, let's talk about the nation of Israel. God has a plan for His chosen people that He has never given up on either. God has a plan to restore that tiny nation and those people of covenant. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. Jesus, gathering His disciples together, commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which He said, "You heard of from Me. For John was baptizing with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they were asking Him, saying, "Lord, isn't it this time You are restoring the kingdom to Israel?" Jesus outlined the plan. He said there's going to be a time of refreshing, as Peter referred to in chapter 3 that we looked at. There will be some times of refreshing because God is going to send His Spirit. John the Baptist prophesied that, "I baptize with water, but someone's coming who baptizes with water and the Spirit." Clearly understood, Jesus is that one. And to ascend to the right hand of the Father, as He was about to do, He would receive the Spirit, it would be poured out, and they were to wait in prayer for that to happen. But notice the disciples, maybe a little confused on the facts. They're saying, "Well, Jesus, is that the moment? Is that the time that You're going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" You see, they understood that was the plan of God, and they anticipated that's what Jesus was going to do, was restore that kingdom to the nation of Israel. They understood that truth from Scripture. And indeed, that is a part of God's restoration plan. That tiny little nation in the Mideast is living there in disobedience, but that's not how it's always going to be. There is a time when somehow, and I certainly don't understand that, miraculously they are going to come to faith in the real Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 are a couple of very helpful verses to understand the basic plan of God along these lines. The Apostle Paul wants us to understand. He says, "I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be saved." There you have the plan outlined very clearly for us. What's going on in the age right now? Israel's been regathered as a nation. That in itself was a great miracle. They are, as a nation, in unbelief. They have no idea who their Messiah is. But Paul says, as he is inspired of God, "I don't want you to be uninformed about this mystery, that there's been a partial hardening, and it's to our benefit. If it were not for their unbelief, it would not be possible, I suppose, for us to have come in as non-Jews. But our coming in is designed to make them jealous somehow," as we read further. And eventually, their hearts are not going to be hardened. Eventually, they're going to embrace Jesus the Messiah. But until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, that's the way it is. And I cannot help wonder how close we might be to the end of that, to this end of the Gentile era, where those of us who've come in by faith, I wonder, are we close to the last non-Jew being converted and in God's final act turning to the nation of Israel, miraculously turning that nation around? Again, that is God's restoration plan in a nutshell, is they will come in faith eventually. That is a part of God's restoration plan. Much, much more to be written and said about it. But secondly, another part of God's restoration plan, as we mentioned, is for planet Earth and for the universe. And again, if we put a chart out there in the narthex, we need a column for this, because there's much to be said about what God plans to do with this earth and with the universe. Perhaps the best known verse for us is Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there no longer was any sea." When you hear that verse, and when you read it, it almost sounds like God's plan is to replace the present heaven and the present earth, because it talks about the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. But really, the idea is not that of replacing it, but again of restoring it, completely consistent with everything God intends to do. One writer says this: "God did not create matter to throw it away. When Revelation 21:1 and 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 say that the present earth and heavens will, quote, pass away, it does not mean they will go out of existence, but may mean that there will be such a change in them that their present condition passes away." That seems perfectly consistent with other verses that we read and the overall plan of God. It is not to replace, but to restore again the natural world that presently is pretty badly broken. Thirdly, God has a restoration plan for people. This, I think, is the most intensely personal, and this is the aspect that I think our world so very desperately needs to hear. God has a plan to restore broken people. Two aspects of it. One that we've already talked about in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. It is the refreshing plan for those that come in faith. It is the work of the Spirit to revive and refresh and enable people to be overcomers in this age. But the second part of His plan to restore people is what we call resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4, many such passages where we read of God's plan to restore those who are literally, physically dead, to restore mortals to immortality. And that certainly is a very exciting aspect of it. People are not too broken to fix who are dead and in the grave. People of faith, God is going to raise up in resurrection in the last day. Another writer says that God's work of restoration begins with the individual. Before restoring all things to this earth, He has purposed to begin in the smallest of ways with the human mind. He begins to work with a flawed human mind and convert it to a Spirit-led mind, continually renewed by the same power that was at work when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, Ephesians 1:20. This mighty power can work if you believe. Again, that's a third column for that chart that I think we need to put out there in the narthex. God's plan to restore people. Every passage that you find that speaks about that, we need to list that there. We need to develop a list of all that we find about God's plan to restore people. Again, I think this is the most intensely personal aspect of the good news that God has for us to understand, embrace, to teach, and to share. Is anyone's life too broken to fix? And the answer that we have from the good news that we have is a resounding no. No one is beyond hope if they come in faith at this moment. And again, that's tremendous good news. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, the message we share is, no matter how broken your life is, God has a restoring plan. And He can take you right now and begin that process through repenting and returning. Again, that is the good news that we share. Ezekiel 11, verses 19 and 20. God says, "And I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them. And I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. Then they will be my people and I shall be their God." That message, first and foremost, was for the people of Israel, those chosen people, but it extends to all the people of God, because that's what God's Spirit does. For anyone who is broken that comes in faith, God will do that work. He will take that heart of stone set against him. He will remove that heart and place a viable heart within, responsive to the pathway and the leading of God. And again, that is the great good news that we have to share. God wants to restore broken lives, and God wants to eventually resurrect those broken lives that are dead and in the grave at this time. That's the good news. Those are three aspects of the good news that we have to share. Again, we've just begun to scratch the surface. This needs to be an intensive project by all of us, the people of God, to understand, to embrace, to share. I was thinking about growing up at home and how I very often would see a magazine in our house that was entitled The Restitution Herald. It was a title that never meant a whole lot to me growing up, because that's a pretty complicated phrase for a child. But I remember seeing that magazine over the years. I still see it often. But I saw that magazine and a title that didn't really mean a whole lot. I would see inside of it a reference to the verse we've looked at today, Acts 3:21, and it talked about the restitution of all things spoken by the mouth of the holy prophets. That's out of the King James. Restitution really didn't mean all that much, but when I realized restitution also means restore, now that I began to understand and embrace. And that's exactly what it's about. That magazine, I now clearly understand, it is declaring the good news of the restoring plan of God. That's what our founders in the faith were all about. And that's what I now am excited to be a part of as well. I see it. I get it. I understand. That's what we are entrusted with. And that's what pumps me up. And I think that is our mission purpose as a congregation, is to be about declaring that good news of that restoring plan of God. And I just pray that we grasp this so clearly and so energetically that we want to begin to build bridges out into our community and beyond. That's another theme that's been on my mind lately too, the building of bridges, to get out there and get out there with this. But I pray that this message becomes so clear and revitalizing that we put our focus into building the bridges, to get out there to those people that may never come to us, to get to them with this message so that they can hear it and be touched and embrace it, and to have their broken lives mended as well. My prayer is that we be in every way an Acts 3:21 people in church, and so that we be faithful to the mission that I think God calls us to. Amen?